cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Welcome to it. It's the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. Certainly another really great day. I hope that you're certainly having a great day as well. Thank you very much for tuning in. My name is Weza that guy. I'm in the show today and I'm joined by some really, really inspirational young people. Now, they're part of Enactus UP, and they do some really, really amazing stuff. We're going to chat to them in a short little while and you'll get to know exactly what they're about, what they're into, and what the whole organization is into as well. I kid you not, these type of things right here are the type of things we need to shape the country and go forward in a really, really amazing way. So I just wanted to water your mouth a little bit with what we have in store for you. Today is going to be an absolutely fantastic, fantastic day. Now, just on the other side of life, I mean, part of what's trending right now on Twitter and so on is the taxi strike. In fact, it's number one on the trends. A lot of people don't really understand what's going on over, I see so many taxis heading to Gauteng right now. Well, streets of Gauteng, especially the main streets, really trying to make sure that their voices are heard. Now, when I looked at some of the demands that the guys have in regards to the actual taxi strike itself, it seems to me more like it's really just about their complaints are so they're so basic, really. You know, if you look at how much a quantum costs, so they wrote there that a quantum would typically be around 400,000, and then you still have to pay a deposit about 50,000. So your debt is a certain amount. Then there's also interest, about 28% that taxi SA Taxi charges them, and then this really grows that interest and the amount that they owe over the period in which they have to pay back. You end up having to pay back about 1.1 million per taxi. Imagine that, 1.1 million for a quantum. So I mean, this is the challenge that they have, and they're saying the demands are simple. Toyota must just reduce the amount that they're currently charging for their so they just want Toyota to reduce the amount that that's currently being charged for the taxis, you know, to purchase a taxi in itself. So that's pretty much the demands. It seems like it's not too bad, but I mean, it's a whole I think they wanted to reduce by what? By about 100,000. Yeah. They want a reduction of 100,000 in the price of quantums, which is actually, it's a little bit, not even a little bit, it's quite a lot. But they're currently saying that, you know what, look, the people who use our taxis are in the lower LSM. These guys can't afford increases the entire time also. So the people can't afford it. And you guys are pushing us out of business. You're making us strangle each other for that last penny, because now that's why there's taxi wars. People are fighting against each other because it's really that tough to just pay back the taxis and also still get to make some sort of profit out of this business. So that's really the concern. And what they've decided is they're not going to start charging people more the entire time, because you know one thing about taxi prices is that it always goes up. You've never went into a taxi and the taxi driver says, hey, no, why are you paying me so much? The taxi price went down. It never happens, never. It always just goes up and up and up. I mean, I remember once upon a time, a taxi from town to University of Pretoria used to be around, I think, 9 rand. Then it went to 10 rand. Then it went to like 12 rand. I'm not sure what's sitting on now. Hopefully it's not 14 rand. But it really just goes up, but it never seems to ever come down. Hopefully now that they've decided they're not going to blame each other for it. They're not going to strangle each other for anything. But instead, they're actually going to focus on the big corporates that have been making billions this entire time. And they're going to say, you know what, you guys are actually the ones that need to step up. And you guys are the ones who are actually supposed to try and help us with the issue that we're facing right now. So that, I think, is a pretty cool thing. Yo. Okay, cool. And so normally we have this whole highlight of the week thing, and I get to ask someone their highlight. Well, none of those guys are here right now. You see, unreliable people. Eh? Where are they? traits of leadership. You see, this is black excellence for you, and including Vaughn, by the way. So, but anyway, highlight. I think yesterday was something absolutely fantastic for me. I was shooting a series for the first time. Not a series. It's more like I'm the presenter of a certain TV show, and we shot 18 episodes all in one day. We started at 9, we finished at 5. It was crazy. The whole day in front of the camera standing, and I had to say about 400 lines from autocue, but I'd never seen the script before. So I see the script, I get like maybe about 50 seconds to prepare, and then shoot, and then next, and then next, and then next. It was really tough. I was really, really, really at the pinnacle of having to be focused and having to try as hard as I can to stay energetic from scene one all the way to scene 18. And by the way, each episode you do about let's say you do the opening and the closing, but then you have to do each opening 4 times. First for this type of angle, then for a close-up angle, then for super close, then for the other co-presenter. My co-presenter was a lady that spoke Mandarin, but she was speaking English, but with that Mandarin accent, you know what I mean? It was really cool because I had to say some Chinese words in there. Gosh, that was rough. That was rough. Like, the Chinese language is so complex, guys. Like an X, you pronounce an X as a ch. And then, but it's an X. But then a Z, you wouldn't say Z, but you'd say T when it's a Z. And then when it's a ZH, then it's pronounced as in J, like a Joe instead of Zo. It was crazy because now that's on the script. You have never seen it before. You're practicing for 50 seconds. Then you get and do it in front of the camera. Then you have to remember that, oh, shucks, that's not English. That is Chinese that you have to kind of convert into some currency that is understood only by your mind. And then you have to say it and you have to sound like you've been out here. It was rough. But you know what? One of the interesting things is this lady was my co-presenter, but there's something I think that when all opportunities come, we have to make a decision. You know, it is tough. You're doing 400 links and in front of camera, and you're tired. You have been standing for a while. But what keeps you energized? You know, she was trying to finish as soon as possible. She had complaints. She wanted this change. She wanted that change, and all sorts of things like that. But I, on the other hand, I was just grateful to be here, man. I was just grateful to be alive. I was just grateful to be alive and doing what I love to do. And look, it's me, man. I'm here right now. I used to watch people like this growing up on Simunye, SABC 1. I'm that dude. I'm that guy. You know, for me, that kept me energized. And I was just thinking, how dare you be tired when you're out here living your dream? Nah, man, there's no time to say this or why are you complaining? You living your dream right now. So I felt so grateful, and I thought, you know, people can either look at the opportunity or the obligation in any given circumstance. There's always something to be grateful for in that moment. And you have, if you operate from a place of gratitude and you are engaged in the things that really make you happy, and you'd always find that extra energy to keep going. And it's now scene number, I mean, it's link number 405, and you've been out here and you're tired and your legs are saying no. And by the way, after that thing, my day wasn't done. I had to go to Sun International to host some draws and MC there, and there was a media event going on. I could have easily said, hi, I had a long day. Nah, wait, I'm going to give half-hearted energy here. But it's another place, man. I'm getting paid to speak. All I have to do is speak and be cool. Just rock your suit and feel good and make people feel good. That's all I have to do. And this is my dream. Get that energy from your dream and say, wow, man, I get to live what I love to do every single day. Why be tired, man? You know, people could easily say, yo, you must be tired, because they're thinking of the obligation. Man, you out here, you driving, you tired. I'm just thinking of the opportunity, the blessing of another day. And man, I'm winning. And that's the good feeling. That's the good feeling. And I hope that, you know, whatever you're doing, that you find those magical moments inside where you have these out-of-body experiences where you can just say, wow, man, I'm alive. Man, I'm doing what I love to do. I'm an intern at this place, but do you know what the opportunity is? That I can get to live and breathe my dream every single day, and I can actually do something, make something out of myself from this right here. And I think that right there is where the, you know, the beauty lies. And when I said earlier that your life needs to taste like something, in a previous podcast, I said that, and that's pretty much what it means. It means that, you know, your life takes like victory. I declared last week that this is good news season. Good news season. Only good news. Don't call me unless you got some good news. So I want everybody to win. Not just myself, but everyone around me. Family, friends, acquaintances. You come to me, you come with good news. And we know you first have to attract it, because I'm talking about taxi now, thinking about the taxi industry. You know that if you are really in a hurry and you want to, let's say, leave University of Pretoria and you want to go to town, and here's a taxi in front of you, but it's staying and standing still. You know the ones that park there by Shell Garage there? Yeah, they're standing still, and you can see that this guy is waiting for this taxi to get full before he leaves. And right now he's got like three people inside. How eager are you to get in that taxi? You're probably thinking, aha, this is going to take a while. But then you see another taxi by the robot, and it's about to go, and it's moving already. It's just waiting for the light to go green, but it's already been out here, and it's only got three people too. But guess what? It's moving. What do? You run over across the road, try to get into that taxi before it leaves, because it's on the move. And what I say is, make your move before you're ready. Even though you ain't got no 15 people in your taxi right now, but just keep on going in your life, whatever that thing is that you're doing. Because guess what? The people that you're waiting for to fill up your taxi, the people that you're waiting for to make this trip worthwhile, to make your dreams a reality and to make things happen for you, are only interested in taxis that are moving. They're not interested in the taxis that are standing still, because they're thinking, this one's going to waste my time. I ain't got that time. So be that guy who, you know, who just makes the move before they're ready. And guess what? The right things will fall into place. By the time you reach your destination, your taxi is full. Maybe, in fact, you had people go in and out and in and out, equivalent to you actually having two loads instead of one, like the dude who was standing still, in the same amount of time. I mean, that's probably just some good advice ahead of the taxi strike. So look at the taxis in a better way. Okay, cool. So I've got some really cool guests with me right now. I did mention earlier that they represent Enactus UP. Now, Enactus has done some really, really amazing things over the years. These guys right here are part of Enactus of 2017. So let me allow them to introduce themselves. Guys, hello.
Hi, Louisa.
Okay, cool. Hello, Louisa. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Fantastic. It's Louisa and
Vincent.
Cool. Louisa and Vincent. Guys, tell us what you do at Enactus.
Okay, so Enactus UP, we call ourselves Enactus. The word Enactus, it's an acronym, basically.
Okay.
It stands for Entrepreneurial Actions for Others.
Yeah, right. I never knew that.
Yeah,
I never thought of what Enactus could stand for. I just thought, Enactus. Okay.
So the word Enactus,
Entrepreneurial?
Entrepreneurial Actions. So the E is for entrepreneurial, E-N-N.
Yeah.
A is for action.
Mm-hmm.
Then this one, entrepreneurial action for others.
Okay.
So when you put it in a statement, it's entrepreneurial actions for others create a better world for us all. So that is where the word Enactus is coming from.
Pretty cool.
Enactus, to start with, it's a global organization, right?
Yeah.
But we are a chapter of Enactus UP. So each and every university, like we have 36 countries all over the world. So the one that is in Pretoria is Enactus UP. It is based at the University of Pretoria. So we are? We are a non-profit student organization that seeks to empower students and external beneficiaries with entrepreneurial skills. So we do community projects that are based on entrepreneurial skills. So the question that we likely to find, Louisa is going to talk more about it. Guti, what's the difference between Enactus and a just normal charity organization, right?
Okay.
Louisa is going to tell you more about it, but that's who we are. We are an organization by students for students. We also go out and do community projects and things like that. So, Louisa, want to add?
Okay. So, basically, the difference between a community charity event or so on would be that Enactus uses entrepreneurial skills. So we empower people by giving them the skills to sustainably help themselves, as opposed to charity where you're donating money or food or et cetera. So yeah, it's a more sustainable long-term sort of plan.
Just to give you a practical example, one of the projects that we do is called the Zamali Sedi.
This is Zamali Sedi.
Zamali Sedi.
All right, cool.
This is a solar light that I have in front of you.
Oh, yeah. Right.
This solar is made from, this is a solar panel they wanted to use to charge with.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Let's actually take a picture of that. I'm going to post this picture on Twitter.
Okay. I'm just going to give you a bit of background. How did you start it with this project? So we went to Mamelodi and Gandla. It's just a community just outside the University of Pretoria, outskirts of the CBD. We did a market analysis to say how many people are using candlelight. And what are the other alternatives for them? Because some of them, they do use paraffin stove, solar light, and things like that. And we found out most of them, they use candles. They spend 300 a day approximately to buy a candle. That's 150 a month, and it equates to like 900 a year.
Wow.
And we said, you know what we can do? We can actually make a light that they can buy once off, and it's much safer, and it's cost effective. And this life has a lifespan of 3 years. And that's how we came up with the solar light.
Wow, this is really practical innovation. Exactly. I love this.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. Wow, that Zamana Lady. So currently, is it already in certain homes right now?
In certain homes, yes, we have it. This is phase two. Last year, we used to have a phase one. Phase one, it was much smaller than this one.
Yeah.
But as we grow, we expose ourselves, like what we're doing now. We get people who are willing to help. It's, you know what? I like what you guys are doing. I have a program that do something, how can I help?
Yeah.
And that's how we managed to develop this into phase two.
Yeah. This is absolutely fantastic. I love the fact that you know, I had someone who said to me that, you know, for instance, Swaziland produces so many graduates, but not necessarily always in Swaziland itself. They send their kids to other universities. There's scholarships. Oh, you from Swaziland as
well? Yes, I am.
Oh, interesting. I saw the smiles. I was like, who's from Swaziland? Maybe it's me.
No, it's me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they send their students to other countries to try and get an education. Mm. But then the students normally, even after, so then 50-50 happens. Some students get married and never want to come back. Some find a better life where they are, and some do come back, but they never quite come back with the innovations or something like that. They never come and say, hey, let me use my knowledge to solve the everyday small problems of my country. You know, there's a lot of homelands in Swaziland. There's a lot of villages. Obviously, you also do get, you know, the suburb areas and so on. But for instance, there are things, small things like this, for instance, where you could just look at an average village and say they're relying on paraffin lamps, and they're also relying on candles quite a lot. And this right here just solves that problem. This is absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
Especially now in times of winter. Because you know, the shack fires, those are real things. Those are practical things.
Yeah.
Candle tips over, one shack man catches, then it damages the whole community.
Yeah.
And with this, that is what we're trying to propose to them. We'd see, let's move away from there. And there also other health disadvantages when you go further into why must they channel to our product. So it's a really good project. It's going forward. The government is interested to come as a subsidy. So that's gonna still in the process, but for now we're still doing this. So we have four projects. This is one of them, the one that you're doing. Zamali Sedi. Louisa, would you like to talk about the second one?
Just to add to Zamali Sedi, so we're getting MACFO, which is the Mamelodi Arts and Culture Forum, and we're actually using some of their artists to produce the lights. So while empowering the community by giving them these lights, we're also giving these people jobs and teaching them new skills so that they can go out and sell to other townships and so on. So it's really cool.
Very
fantastic. Sustainable.
So it's not just solving the problem, but then also solving the entrepreneurial problem as well, trying to make sure that many guys start now being producers of the Zamali Sedi, so that they can actually distribute it themselves to their local communities, and in such a way you're also creating jobs.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. You guys, man. You guys are the answer. This is absolutely fantastic. I took a photo of the Zamalesedi. It works on solar power. So I am assuming that you charge it in the daytime. And then at nighttime, you've got a lamp that will last you the whole night. And this is actually pretty cool. It looks pretty much the same as how your light bulb would look like in the house. So it's still nice and classy, stylish, you know. So you don't have to have that Bazotina Bantu syndrome thinking about, ish, the neighbors are going to laugh at you for this weird stuff. And it looks really, really simple. Actually, it's something that you could have built at home. Like if you were just thinking about it properly, you could have made this thing yourself, guys. Like, but why have we been sleeping on our talent? This is really cool. It uses LED lights. I think it's about 5 LED lights right there.
True, true.
Yeah, and LED, of course, is really one of the great providers of light. At the same time, they don't use much battery life, so that's actually pretty cool.
And they last long.
Rechargeable batteries is what I see there, right?
No. It uses the solar panel.
Yeah.
So
what,
the solar panel, yeah.
So the batteries are they're acting almost as capacitors.
True.
Yeah. Okay. This is actually quite fantastic. I took a picture of it, and it's up on Twitter. You can see it on hashtag Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show. I mean, the Unplugged Radio Show, and you will also see it on my Twitter handle as well. It's at Weza That Guy. So have a look at the Zamalesedi. That's the first innovation. Okay. Cool. I see we've got a really cool looking bag right here. It looks like a leather bag. It looks like one of those things that, you know, those boys with swag would be wearing on campus. Tell us about this bag.
So this is our second project, which is FK Brands.
Mm-hmm.
So we're helping this young lady to sell her bag. She produces bags out of recycled tires.
Oh, wow.
So,
this is made from tire.
Yes.
Ay, my ningas was stupid.
You can actually feel the tire content.
What? Jeez, well, it's heavy. Is there something inside? Wow, it feels so proper, guys. This feels really, really, really good. I think the material feels really luxurious. It's quality, man.
Yeah, it'll last forever.
Yeah, it feels like it. It's one of those, you know, you buy it in grade 7, he goes until matric with this one.
And it's still like fashion wise in terms of, it's not,
yeah,
like those big,
it's really
bags,
really fashionable. It's wow. I can't believe it. You're telling me that this is made from tires.
100% tire.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm gonna take a picture of this bag as well, guys, so that you guys can get to see it as well. I just need some good lighting conditions so that we really have a proper, you know what, we'll take a photo with the bag at the end of the show, so that we can do it like a, you know, nice photo shoot with the bag, because it really looks cool. It really looks cool, and it's pretty strong as well. So how much does one of these bags go for?
This particular backpack goes for 700 rand.
Yeah.
But there are other bags, clutch bags for ladies. What else? Briefcases?
Yeah, handbags.
Handbags for,
yeah,
ladies as well.
Wow.
And there's also bigger backpacks that are, yeah, made entirely out of tires. So you can actually see it's made from a tire, and it's pretty, pretty cool looking.
Fantastic. I'm actually doing a campaign on climate change at the moment, and we're looking for these type of people. So I think we'll have a chat after the show, and we'll see what more can happen for these type of people. I'm sure you have many stories like this one.
Exactly.
in your bag as well. This is actually very, really, this is cool. This is amazing. It really looks stylish. It really looks comfortable, and you wouldn't think that it's made from tires.
Exactly.
So tell me the story about this lady.
So the story about the lady, her name is Ria. She worked with her sister Katlego.
Yeah.
Ria was part of Inactus, but at UJ, right? Inactus UJ.
Yeah.
So she had a business idea. Would see, what's the first thing that people do when they buy cars?
Tires,
right?
Yeah.
And said, and what happened to those tires? People don't recycle tires, they just throw them in the landfills.
Yeah, so, or they use it when they're striking.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she decided to develop this idea, which, you know what, I want to use tires to make something that is sustainable. And
yeah,
she decided to do bags and said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. She came to approach Inactus UP. We'd say, guys, would you take me as a project? We'd say, this is what I want to do. Please absorb me. This is my... So basically, anyone can be absorbed by Inactus. But what you need to have, there are three things we're looking for, right?
Yeah.
We call them triple Ps. People, profit, and planet. Number one, your project has to save the planet or try to save the planet. Now, Ria's project, it tries with the tires, right?
Yeah.
It brings the solution of sustainability. That's one out of the way. Then people, how does it impact people? Ria has 10 employees who are making, sewing the bags. So there is like people. There's people empowerment. It's not just her and her sister, mm-hmm. but there are people who are employed at the mm-hmm. back. And profit, how will the business make profit? So we look at those three things and we found that Ria actually meets our criteria mm. and we took it as a project.
Oh,
and
that's wow. how. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. It's also good to hear that there are success stories from Enactus and the members of Enactus, and it doesn't actually just end with hey, I did something for some really cool people and after that I go and I got a normal job. But but some of the guys are actually taking the knowledge and the insight that they learned from Enactus and then going further. Now, I heard that you did mention Enactus UP. Some interesting facts about Enactus, by the way, is that these guys right here have about 69,000 students active in more than 1,600 tertiary institutions in 36 countries around the world. Enactus aims to create sustainable community development projects through entrepreneurial action. Students are encouraged to implement sustainable, smart business solutions which address the unique needs of the community. This is actually pretty cool. So apparently there's something called the Enactus World Cup. Who would like to talk about that?
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Cool.
So basically, all of the projects, next month on the 11th to 12th, we have the national competition. That's where all the universities in South Africa, they come and compete. It's going to be here at the Sandton Convention Center.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So the winner of that national competition goes to Enactus World Cup. This year, London is hosting, so it's going to be England in London. Oh. That's where all the 36 Enactus team all over the world, they come and compete. So each and every country, for example, Ghana, all the universities in Ghana need to compete for that sport.
Yeah.
Whoever wins that sport, they go to...
They go to the next.
So yeah.
Oh wow, that's the big coveted trip to London.
Exactly.
Are you guys going this year?
Hey, we want to. That's why we're here.
So. This is really cool, though. I mean, they've taken doing good things and doing good things for people and turned it into a competition. Who can do the best thing for other people instead of who can do the best thing for themselves?
Yes.
Who can do the best thing for other people? And guess what? Everybody wins, because whether you won or you didn't win, but you still did something good for other people. And winning sometimes just means that you get a bigger platform to do even bigger things for those people or even for more people, just like how you helped the previous ones. So that's actually a really, really cool thing. Just tell me a bit about some of your other projects. You have, I heard you guys said that there's, you guys have everything now, or are there more in the bag?
No, we still have some more.
Okay, so cool.
We talked about the first one, the solar light, Zamali Sedi. The second one is Attire. So the name of the
project, it's called Attire.
Attire, because it's
smart.
Attire.
Smart.
So the third one that we have, it's called Project Tswelopele.
Okay, right? Tswelopele.
The name Tswelopele simply means moving forward.
Yeah.
So Project Tswelopele, it deals with inmates, right? There's a stigma attached to people who go to prison when they come back to society. Like, they're not treated the same. They're not perceived because of the stigma, whether it could be corporate or it could be society, but they're not welcome as. So Project Tswelopele, what tries to do is to try, they go to, now right now we're working with Leeuwenkop prison, it's in Pretoria. It's a rehabilitation program, so we give them skills, agricultural skills. So Project Tswelopele is sponsored by AFGRI. AFGRI is like one of the biggest agricultural companies in the world, and SAICA. So what they do, they give them agricultural skills. Then after a certain course, probably course is 6 months, they give them certificate. So the one for financial literacy, that one is provided by SAICA. And the one for agricultural skills, the one that's provided by AFGRI. So they need to finish that program. So normally the target is for people who are about to reach their end of the of their sentence. So they enroll in that course probably six months or probably a year. When they finish, they get a certain of accreditation certificate.
Yeah.
So with that, it's not like it's when they go out, it's guaranteed they're going to get employed, but it's much better. They actually rehabilitated, they did something. So that's Project Tswelopele.
Yeah.
So that's the third project.
That's actually pretty cool. Let's not even just jump from that one. Let's actually just, it's good to just zoom into it a little, because there are cases of people who go into prison and they serve their sentence. Sometimes it's a really big mistake that they made, or it was just a tough time in their lives and so on, and they come out saying, all right, cool, it's time for a fresh start, new beginning. And then guess what? You always get asked in any interview, criminal record? Do you have a criminal record? I mean, even in acting, guys, I'll kid you not. Like when you go for a casting, even if you just wanna be an extra on the ad and you're just gonna say, "Hey, give me bananas," or you know, or even if you're just the guy that makes the whistle, they on the piece of paper there it says, like when you auditioning, do you have a criminal record? So I mean, even the jobs that are like, how could I steal, guys? I'm not here to steal. It's not about you stealing. It's about you having a criminal record, and maybe it look bad on our company, on our brand, or our image, and that means that guys with a criminal record, they almost, you know, disadvantaged everywhere, you know. And sometimes the criminal record is from, you know, from you being negligent or from you being bad or whatever at that particular time. But sometimes it's because of a mistake that happened. You could easily get him a criminal record for, you know, for hitting someone with a car, even though you can have 1,000 excuses of why it wasn't you and this and that. And things can happen. So, and that, does that mean your life is ruined after that? So it's really interesting that, you know, you guys also look at those type of things. You guys look at society in general and you say, hey, man, what are some of the things that people normally don't look at? What I like about the projects that you guys have mentioned thus far is that they are not the normal things that we think of when we say, hey, I want to save the world. You know, everyone wants to do the normal stuff that everybody else does. But you guys look at the small things that are overlooked.
Exactly.
I mean, the Naledi concept for me is, it's so simple. You think, because we all think that, no, it's okay, they'll just use candles. Because candles are there for that reason. But does it mean that candles are the best solution? Nope. And you look at that and you say, even the simplest solution might not be the best solution. So let's try and see if we can find easier ways or better ways. It looks a little complex, but guess what? It saves this person 900 rand. 900 rand means nothing for the guy living in Sandton, but it means everything for someone who's living off a government grant. Because now they don't have to have that consistent 900 rand going out for just light. It's every,
just a once-off payment,
know what I mean?
For the whole of 3 years.
Exactly. Then the other thing is, well, what if there's no supply of candles for that season or something like that. Exactly. This really is a cool innovation for me, and that it's really practical and really simple. So props for you guys for you know, giving those type of minds a chance. I think sometimes you guys are there to facilitate the growth of a project. Sometimes you guys come up with a project, and I think in both aspects it's really, really important that we applaud you for looking at certain simple looking projects and saying, hey, what more could this do? Because it actually saves so many homes when a shack burns, the community of shacks burn. It's not just one shack. When people in a shack, we must understand that if you're in a shack, it means that you don't have much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But whatever you have, you're really grateful for and you've worked hard for. And when that burns down, man, it's like you're kicking a person when they're already down. And it's really, really tough. And it maybe means not so much for you when you're living in four ways and you're thinking, oh, I heard the shack burned. Shame, hey? Aw. But it means everything to that person. And for you to be a person that might not necessarily be living in that condition, but for you to think about those people and to try and innovate thinking about them, and not necessarily thinking that you're going to make millions or billions, because you don't even know how much those guys can afford this thing, but you're just saying, let me see if I can help that. So that's a really, really cool thing, guys. Well done. Cool. So we've now spoken about the third one. Apparently there's another one.
Yes, there's one last project. It's called Fruitful Living.
Is this your flagship project? Which one is going to get you to the World Cup, guys? Tell me, which one's going to get you the World
Cup?
Which
ones have we selected, Vincent?
Three of them, except the one for Zamali Sedi. Not like
you're not Zamali Sedi's not in?
It's not like we're not selecting it. Zamali Sedi, we're still building the impact. Because they look at the competition.
They look at also the how you measured it.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Also, it's going through a bit of a transition because we changed the light to be more appealing.
Yeah.
We thought that if we can't put a light in our homes, why would we put it in a township? So we decided to make something that looks better so that they can feel like, you know, they're getting the same treatment as everyone else.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
So it's a good transition because, like I said, Eliguti, the phase one was just a project that we wanted to help people. But we got people who pat on us on the back, like, hey, I can help you. Yeah. There's a guy who's doing this. His name is Sunny Morgan.
Yeah.
Yes, like, he has a solar company as well. And he heard about the Nexus UPR project. He's like, hey, guys, let me see your light. Then he thought, like, the light that you had for phase one is kind of like dehumanizing people. Like, it's good. You did all that you could, but you can improve.
Yeah.
So let's go to phase two.
Yeah.
He said, let's lay the project now. Let's let it build up. Let's impact more people. Next year, we're coming back by storm. We're taking that national competition.
Fantastic. Yeah, this is really cool. And what's also really cool is that you guys are getting the attention of other people.
True.
And they're also helping you with this type of stuff as well. Okay, let's talk about the fourth one, yeah?
Okay, so fruitful living. Basically, a lot of fruits and vegetables go to waste every year in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to do is we have set up, I'm not sure where, it's set up. Do you know, Vincent?
Dehydrator.
Yes.
Okay. So the dehydrator, we have one on campus.
Yeah.
We're trying to get a vendor. And there's also another one in Fassfontein.
Yes. So in Fassfontein, we have a group of ladies that are drying the fruits using a solar-powered dehydrator. And our aim is to sell these fruits to the high market. To the higher markets to compete with other fruit brands or dried fruit brands, sorry. So, yeah, basically we're trying to solve the problem of all this food going to waste by giving these ladies jobs and providing healthy dried fruit to the nation.
Pretty cool.
You know, when you go to a food market, like a farmer's market,
yeah,
they always have those fruits that, like, they're still good, but they cannot reach the shelf life. The certain standard that Pick and Pay or Woolworths they will take. The ones that they kind of reject. We take those ones because they can be disposed of. Instead of that, you're putting them into the hydrator.
Yeah.
Then we dehydrate them. We're going to sell them as dried fruits.
Oh, okay.
So they're still in good condition. So it's just like, instead of giving them waste, we're putting them back into the system.
Yeah.
And there are also people running that project. We are just there to
dry fruit is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Sometimes dry fruit costs more than the actual fruit when it's not dry. Yeah, like, I mean, the price you'd pay for some mango leaves is a lot.
No, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. Pretty cool. And who manages some of these projects? Like, for instance, this this dried fruit one. I mean, I'm imagining you guys are students.
Yes.
So who manages the company that would employ these people and pays the salaries and does that stuff? Yeah.
Okay. We normally call ourselves a program. So we have structures. We have business advisory board.
Mm-hmm.
Business advisory board, we call them BAP. Those are people who've been to Enactus, but now they're in the business corporate world.
Yeah.
Those are the top structure. They come to give us advice. How can we improve? How can we do things in a better way?
Yeah.
That's the top one.
Mm.
Then we have the faculty advisor. The faculty advisor, those are people on campus.
Yeah.
People who are within the university. So they engage with us. If we have something, a problem, we tell them. They're kind of representing us to the university management.
I see.
So
yeah,
it's the PAP. Then we have the faculty advisor. Then we have the alumni. Those are people like Ria. They've been to Enactus, but now they want to come back and make sure that the program is still going.
Yeah,
they can help us through challenges. Then we have the executive members. This is the EC members, the president, the deputy, you know, those type of people.
I see. Yeah.
Then we have the members. So that's the structure of Enactus. That's how it is managed.
Mm.
You start from the PAP, the faculty advisor, make sure the program is within the standards, we're doing the right job, the project leader. So each and every project, it has a project leader. Project leader, it could be 2 to 4 people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are people who are managing the project.
They're the ones who
communicate with, like, the external parties, the beneficiaries and things like that.
Okay, yeah. I can imagine that Enactus really also gives you as the students a really great platform of learning the professional language. I mean, you guys get to approach big corporates and you get to liaise with them, and you get to sit on tables with, you know, people that would otherwise intimidate you.
Yeah.
And now it's time to negotiate with them on certain things as well. How does that feel?
I think it's pretty cool. I'm studying marketing and I'm in my third year now, and I would say that Enactus has given me so much practical skills that I would have never gotten with just my degree. So we learn to do presentations, we learn to speak to business people, how to convince them to support our projects. So the skills we get for when we one day go into the corporate world are really amazing.
Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, from email etiquette to
everything,
how to greet, shake the handshake, make it firm, make it soft, no, do this, do that. How are you gonna dress? I've seen you guys. I've actually been to I think last year or the year before, I was at the Stanton Convention Center. So I watched the presentations, and I've seen some of the projects that are out there. I think last year, if I'm correct, that it was KZN who was selected as one of the good winners.
No.
What was it?
It's actually a long story. Last year, it was UJ.
UJ,
but
all right.
UKZN, I was hoping we're not going to talk about this. But anyway, UKZN won in 2015.
Oh, right? That's when I was there. Yeah, that's 2015. There. Yeah.
Yeah, but...
you don't have to tell me about the beef. Just tell me they won. It's fine. Okay. Yeah, you can just leave it there. It's cool. It's really cool. So, I mean, one of the two things that I'm sure a lot of people are asking themselves right now listening is, first of all, how do you get time to do all of this while you're still a student? It sounds like a lot of stuff. It sounds like you will fail your academic career, but you'll do well at Enactus. And your mom's going to say, Emina, I didn't pay for you so you could go to Enactus, by the way. So just tell me, how is it on a day-to-day? Is it something that you guys feel like you normally have quite a lot of time for? Or how do you manage that and your studies at the same time?
Yeah, that's actually a good question, because the way we see the program, like academics comes first.
Right? Yeah.
You do your academics, then Enactus come as an external program.
Yeah.
So it's a personal hustle to find the time. You see, what am I going to do? Because there's always work to be done in academics, and just true. Like Enactus, there's work to do. But because Enactus is open to a wide range of students, like Luisa studies marketing, I study education. Yeah. So you don't have to be within a specific field. I know some other universities are doing it differently, but for us, it's open to all the students.
Yeah.
So we have a wide variety of student of labor, people who want to do work for Enactus, and we share the work. Like, let's say you want to join Enactus, right? We tell you about Enactus. Let's say you have an idea. We're going to give you four projects to say, we have four projects. You need to choose one. So you choose the one that you're interested in. Let's say you choose Zamali Sedi because you seem to like it. Okay. So now you're part of Project Zamali Sedi. What are we going to do? Project Zamali Sedi is divided into sections. There's a marketing team, the team that goes out to sell the product to sponsors, potential donors. Then also there's a financial literacy team. Those are people who go to SAICA, tell them about what are we trying to do, how can we give people financial literacy skill. Then we have a technical team, people who put the light together. And so on and so on. So basically you decide on which team do you want to be part of under that project.
Yeah.
Then under that project, of course, there is a team. Then by being in a team, it's much better than going there and trying to do this thing on your own.
Yeah.
So in terms of time, it's really time consuming, but I think it's worth it. I'm doing Enactus for the second time this year.
Second time this year.
And if it was up to me, I'll do it again and again and again.
Absolutely fantastic. You know, one of the things that a lot of students who are not very active in student affairs, you know, they're not really active in any societies or anything. I remember one of them joining a certain society thinking that he was going to get paid, and then only like deep in this thing, he was like, but there's no money in this thing. You guys do not get paid. This is all voluntary work.
Yes, it's
non-profit. But at the same time, though, the skills and the expertise you that you walk away that. With and also just the fulfillment inside of you, knowing that you made someone else's life, when in fact sometimes a couple of people, maybe 1,000 or 10,000 people, and you impacted their life in some way at a tender age. I think that type of stuff is really cool as well, right? So now there's the second question that's on a lot of young people's minds is, shucks, man, I want to get involved in these type of things. Because a lot of young people, you know, they want to, but they don't know where to start, who to start talking to. How does one get involved in things like Enactus?
Okay, so basically each and every Enactus team is different, but I'm going to talk on behalf of Enactus Investor of Pretoria.
Yeah.
Because it's a student organization, you first need to be a student.
Yeah.
So let's say you're a student, you study the tax, you want to join Enactus.
Sure.
You need to follow us on social media. On Facebook is Enactus Investor of Pretoria. Can I repeat that? Enactus Investor of Pretoria, that's on
Facebook.
Don't
worry, this on Cliff Central, you ain't got to repeat nothing. People can just rewind and listen again.
Yeah. So you follow us on social media, and then on Instagram it's Enactus_UP.
Yeah.
Then on Twitter, it's at InactorsUP. Then on campus, we do campus activations when the year starts, just to put it ourselves, let's see who we are and what we do. And even branding. We have branded shirt, branded hoodies. And like, people can bump into you and ask it, hey, I've heard of Inactus. How do I join? How do I become on that? So on campus, we do campus activations. We also have an office where we are located, where people can come and find out more about us. So
wow. Fantastic stuff, guys. You know what? You guys deserve a round of applause. Yeah, yeah. These guys are absolutely fantastic, and the work that they do to make South Africa and, in fact, the world a better place, because, I mean, these guys are worldwide, you know what I mean? They're .coms. They're not .co.za. They're .coms out here. So well done, guys, on all the really great things that you guys are doing. We certainly hope that we see more of you guys achieving even bigger things, and even come up with your own projects so that you guys can help yourselves. And then, you know, eventually you help the world and stuff like that. So well done, guys. You guys are absolutely fantastic. So Louisa, Vincent, you guys are rock stars. Thank you very much for coming through to the show.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks for having us.
Sure thing. Well, guys, it is the shortest hour of the week for a reason. That's because it's already that time. It's time to wrap up the show. Thank you very much for joining me. It's been absolutely fantastic. This is the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show, hashtag Unplugged Radio Show on Twitter, and at Where's That Guy if you want to just see some of the pictures that we're going to take about some of the innovations that they've brought here in studio today. So thank you very much for listening. This has been the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show. cliffcentral.com